Maroney Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roney. This is our part two of our interview with Ann Johnston Brown, and we're just going to go right into it. So here we go, Ann Johnston Brown on Roney Zone Radio. Any more stories? Is there a Harry Potter inside? Is there a Twilight in there? What's going on?
You know what? I'm going to see how far I can take this one.
Okay.
I mean, this is like one of those things where, you know, you don't want to have the second child until the first child gets on their feet.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it definitely sounds like you have a clear plan with this book. And
I have a goal.
Yeah.
I have a goal.
Yeah,
I would love to have a better plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, As you progress, you're still doing your music?
Yes, definitely. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I the first song I ever wrote, and I know you're a Facebook friend of mine, so you might have seen this, but the first song I wrote 18 years ago was called Tribute to Little Joe, and I wrote it the day that Michael Landon died. And it got me started writing gospel music. Not that Michael Landon, you know, inspired me toward gospel music, but just writing the song that was a tribute to him made me start wanting to write. And then obviously being a Christian, I wanted to write gospel music. So I've been doing that now for 18 years, and nothing ever came of Tribute to Little Joe, which was a song that when I first wrote it, I just recorded it a very basic recording with not a lot of frill, and send it out to a few places. Nothing came of it. But the Michael Landon's son just died. And so the Michael Landon Remembrance Project got a hold of me and wanted me to produce this song, because the song was mentioned on my website about being the first one. So I did. I just did that one. But I'm constantly producing more music. I mean, I'm never out of the studio. I'm constantly. And I'm in a band right now. There's a guy named Jay Boykin, who is a saxophonist. And I started singing backup for him. And we're recording a couple of albums right now. So I'm staying very busy that way.
Absolutely. And let me ask you about songwriting. What inspires a song? Is it a phrase or a feeling, or is it a sound? What normally kind of lights the light and you go grab a pen and start to write?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, because I have a definite answer for that. I am motivated by melody.
Okay.
Now, I am motivated by topic as well. I don't know how political this website of yours is.
Let it fly.
I'm to say the least, a Mike Huckabee campaigner.
Okay.
I've been very involved with his family, actually, and when Mike was running, even as much as a couple years ago, I was working on his website and producing music for him. And every so often, something would come up, an issue that he was really trying to drive home. And so I would write a song. And so I have to say, was a topic-driven motivation, inspiration, rather. So I would write a song based on something that he needed to really, like the word that he was trying to get out at the time, or the issue, the topic. But most of the time with me, I will be in the shower, I'll be driving along, and a melody will hit me, and I'll be like, I almost get in car accidents pulling over trying to record in my handheld recorder, or at least do something to get, you know, to get it down so that I'll not forget it, and then I'll be able to come home and really work on it. So most of the time it's melody, but like I said, I noticed that, especially working with Mike and then with some just other types of issues that come up, I'll say, man, that calls for a song. And my friend was diagnosed with very advanced cancer a couple of years ago. And, you know, anytime you're struck with some major event, if you're a songwriter, I mean, a song comes to mind immediately.
Sure.
And when she first got it, I mean, she got it hard. It wasn't like she got it and they did biopsies and she got it and she went right in, started the chemo, lost her hair within a week. I mean, she was major, and then, of course, had all the mastectomies and things. And it was within the first month or so that I was writing a song that for her. And that actually led to an entire album. Because once I wrote that song, I said, "Okay, God, you're inspiring me. Let's just do this. Let's keep writing." And so I did. I wrote about 10 songs in a matter of a month and produced an album called We'll Be All Right, which I made the CD and you know, distributed it at my church. I mean, it was no big deal. It was, you know, it's on CD Baby, but other than that, didn't do much with it, but I just felt like the songs had to be done. They had, you know, so I was inspired because of my friend's, you know, tragedy, which ended up becoming a miracle because she's perfectly wonderful today and totally healthy and life is back to normal. So thank God.
Absolutely. You're an American Idol fan?
Yeah. I don't watch TV. I watch one show, and it's American Idol. That's it. Now,
fair
I do
enough.
Watch every single Angels and Los Angeles Dodger baseball game that ever is on.
Yes.
And I
got
to admit to you that I've had one eye on the TV the whole time we've been talking. No, I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
But American Idol is my favorite favorite show. I mean, it's my only show.
Mm-hmm.
That's not sports related, yeah.
Well, I got hooked on last season because, you know, it was a classic. I don't really watch this show, but I'll sit down and watch when they make fun
yeah.
of people, you know.
Yeah.
And I started
right.
watching the first couple episodes, and then I kept watching. I said, well, Megan's kind of cute. Okay, I'll watch this week, you
yeah.
know, and just on
right.
and on and on. And what are your thoughts about that? I mean, would you do that? Would that be too much pressure? Or what are your feelings about you getting involved with something like that?
Well, at 42 years old, they're not giving me the chance.
If they said, you know what, for Anne, we're just going to lift the...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, the problem is, and I agree with the age cutoff. Don't get me wrong. The age restriction that they place on American Idol to me is good because of the very reason I'm going to tell you why I would not compete today. Because when you've done music all your life like I have, and now I'm working through my fourth decade, you get to a place where you're like, you know what? Your motivation changes. It's not that it becomes less. It just takes on a new essence. And I'm not the kind of person that would want to put myself out there like that. Now, there may be other 42-year-olds that would,
yeah.
but I'm just saying for me, I think even 28, they have the 28, you know, cutoff, which some of those 28-year-olds, I think, are far too advanced and far too experienced to be competing with a 16-year-old.
Mm, right.
And I don't think it's fair. I really don't think it's fair because I think that I have done so much in 20-something years of performing that it wouldn't be fair to go up against a 16-year-old because they don't have that performance. Now, there are some. I got to tell you, that one little girl, I forget her name from this past season, but she was just amazing, only 16 years old.
Right, the redheaded gal. I can't remember her name, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm at a loss myself. But she was just a rarity. She was a real phenom. And I know that, you know, she would have been difficult to compete against even at my age or with my experience. But at the same time, I don't even know if it's about, you know, it not being fair for me. For me, I just feel like I would not even want to do that because I feel like, you know, I'm ready to sit on the couch and watch other people humiliate themselves. So,
okay.
you know, it's not even worth it to me anymore. And my motivation is, like I said, different. It's changed. At 20, oh, my goodness, if you'd have given me the chance to do something like that, I would have done it in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Now,
but I love the show. Don't get me wrong.
I understand.
I have never missed an episode.
I understand. And my wife is a vocal lady, and I would understand across the street how she felt coming to the end of the season. So anyway,
yeah.
she's into it too. So I definitely understand. Let's kind of come into the end. Let's talk just kind of briefly. We came out of a fairly conservative church background. And
right.
I think a lot of the things that you've mentioned are kind of really wary subjects, being involved with music and you know, maybe enjoying classic rock or something like that, theater, that kind of thing. How have you kind of balanced that in your life as far as the voice of somebody saying, well, that's really not proper. That's really not of God's gifts. You should go to TBN and work there, and that's about it. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'm afraid I would offend a lot of people if I told you the truth.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you the truth.
That's fine.
Turn your recorder off if you want. But the thing is, I didn't start studying theater until I was in my mid to late 20s. I think I was 27 when I actually went to college, and I went to be a theater major, actually. And my first show I was in, they wanted me to appear without clothes.
Hmm.
And, of course, you know, you just said what we grew up in. And obviously it wasn't even a matter of what I grew up in. It was my beliefs, my ethics, my personal, you know, feelings and relationship with God that I felt would be betrayed. And so I dealt with that and I made them compromise with me. I refused to go, you know, without clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, but it opened up the subject for me. Because I had to, you know, I had to force a compromise. And at the same time, I wondered, is it even worth it to deal with people or a situation that is not a necessity to my life if I'm going to have to be asking for these compromises or especially if it's me making the compromise? Is it worth it? And I very quickly decided that I know that there are certain things that I still will never do in the name of theater, my career, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are some things that I have decided I just don't believe that a choice that I will make is going to contradict my Christian stance, my
sure.
Christian morals. There are some choices that I have made. For instance, I've played many, many roles in which I had to use a lot of foul language.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the first time my mother came to see to see me play Mama Rose in Gypsy, although she will tell you to this day, it is her ultimate favorite role I've ever played,
okay.
Which, you know, is amazing. But it just killed her. She was sitting out there and listening to the words that were coming out of my mouth, and I had to explain to her that, you know, to me, the bottom line of the show had a great moral message.
Mm-hmm.
It had a great message of redemption and that people can change for the good. And if that meant that I had to say some bad things along the way, I made that, I guess you want to call it a compromise, or I just made that concession. And my mom never really has quite understood that, but she will tell you to this day that that is her favorite show I've done because of the music and the dancing. And so that's how I've done it. I've said, you know, I have to decide for myself, you know, where am I compromising myself too much based on the relationship I have with God. And granted, you know, these things are not very specific in the Bible, you know,
sure.
Thou shalt not.
Yeah.
But I think that if you have the Holy Spirit in you and you mm-hmm. profess your faith and you have a relationship with God, you're going to know if something's right or wrong. And for me, there are things that I just don't think are wrong.
Well, the one thing I want to encourage you, and you already know this, is that God, I believe, puts talents in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us to see them.
Right.
And some people kind of shove them aside and say, well, that's not for me. You know, you and I mean, we could stay here for hours and talk about all the times that we've seen people, probably even me, burn tapes and, you know, change life.
We've
and
all done that,
see,
yeah.
And all this kind of stuff. And
yeah.
we have felt that was important when there's some things like a gift of acting.
Right.
You know, you went to the people that needed to see God. The church would never go there, but
right.
you did. So
right.
I believe that you are doing more for those folks than the church. And I'm saying that.
And I will tell you, and this is not something I probably have ever even told anyone, because I don't know that we're supposed to go around talking about these kinds of things, but I have had the opportunity so many times to pray with people backstage at my shows, to be a light unto people, and to invite them to church with me, and different types of opportunities that I would not have had otherwise. And just like you said, I know a lot of Christians do come see my shows.
Right.
I mean, I do a lot of traditional theater. So, I mean, when you do Annie Get Your Gun, you can bet about half the audience are churchgoers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've done a lot of, you know, avant-garde things, and I don't know how many, you know, people I'm necessarily ministering to in the audience, but I've had a chance to work with those that do need the Lord, that need somebody to be praying with them. And it's been a great... It's been a great ministry. It's hard to even say that without laughing, because you think, well, it's not a ministry. But you know what? It is.
Mm-hmm.
It, for me, it's been a ministry.
Well, I just want to commend you for always being strong and always really kind of using God's wind to point you in the direction of where you need to go, where you may have heard from people. That's not where you should go. But
right.
That's where God was sending you. And
right.
we can see that that was exactly right. So I think it's a fantastic thing. Keep it up. Don't stop.
And, you know, I want to say something back at you. This isn't a schmooze party, I know. But, you know, I've never even contacted you, but I've wanted to over the years so many times. Because I don't know if your followers or subscribers know the type of ministry you do, just with people from your past, with your friends, that doesn't get any kind of I know we're not in it for the glory, but any recognition whatsoever. But you know, I accredit you to this day. Everyone knows it. I accredit Jeff Roney for bringing my brother back to the Lord, and that I mean, I'm just gonna. Say it, and I hope you leave this in, because I want people to know it. My brother, who's a wonderful man of God right now, was at the lowest point a person could be ever. And I'm just going to say it, Jeff. I thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's only listening. I've turned into a good listener, and I call it a godly nudge. And, you know, just for a few minutes, it's funny, because I don't know if you've heard the other side of it, I know that Job was going through some rough times. And so God said, you've got to go and get him, you know, basically is what I heard.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, he lives in Phoenix. So work sent me to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so I tried to look him up, and he was in Dallas. Well, 3 weeks later, the work sent me to Dallas.
Oh,
so, you know, who's my boss? That's kind of a funny joke.
Yeah.
But God gave me something to do.
Yeah.
And he...
But you know what? He gives us all something to do. It's just we got to do it.
Yeah.
And you did it. See,
Yeah. And I'll never forget it. It's something that always stick with me. But it was just listening, because some people would kind of slough it off and say, "That's a weird thought," you know.
No,
why would I want to reach out to that person? You understand? And sometimes you have to just do it. And
but you remember it as listening.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I remember it being told back to me from my brother, and he did know, you know, yes, you listened, but you also said all the right things when you did speak. And I'll tell you, to this day, it's just, we just always give thanks. You know, when you love someone, like I love my twin brother, and believe me, when you're a twin, it's even different than just regular siblings. I mean, I can't honestly say that, because I don't have another aged sibling, but I know that it's got to be different, and we are so close, and yet I tortured, you know, because of him, and, you know, because I loved him.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes the sisters don't know how to listen. They don't know what to say, and then again, how did, you know, it was only God. So if anybody ever wonders, if there's somebody out there, or could God send them someone, God will send that person to you. You just got to stay faithful. And I know Joey was praying. He was honestly praying, but he was still just suffering, you know. And he didn't suffer anymore, though. He really has had a wonderful life.
I love Joe. He's a good guy. And it was a sweet time, you know, to just kind of sit down and talk, and very happy, just thrilled over the moon.
And they're about to have their second baby.
Oh, wow.
I say keep popping them out, Joey. I got my nieces and nephews are coming.
Well, I got to tell you, how's Tom doing?
Oh, he's good. He's always gone, though. He's the vice president of Dover now, and he's gone half the time. Mm. But that's probably why we've been married for 20-something years.
I understand. I'm on the road quite a bit, and so I'm missed when I'm gone. But then there comes a point, it's like, when are you leaving again? Can I drive you to the airport?
I know. We got used to that pattern. He's gone. He's in St. Louis today. I'm a single gal.
But you're on the phone, staying out of trouble, watching the ball game. That's fantastic.
Who knows? I can't get in trouble, because as long as there's a ball game on, I'm always in front of it.
I know. Anne, this has been a great time.
Oh, you too. Hey, Jeff, by the way, I just thought of her name. Fern.
Okay.
Fern is the little girl in Charlotte's Web.
Okay.
I was going to kill me. I'm sorry when I can't think of some name, and then it just came to me, Fern. Anyway, it has been great, Jeff. Thank you so much.
So tell folks how to find you, your websites, that kind of a thing.
Basically, if you just go to myspace.com/ Anne Johnston Brown, just all one word, A-N-N-E, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N-B-R-O-W-N, Anne Johnston Brown. All one word. You'll come to everything you need, because all my books are there, all the other links to my books are there. Everything is on that one page.
Fantastic. And I'll put a link in the show notes when the show's posted.
Okay.
Okay, Anne. Thanks so much.
Hey, Jeff, thank you. This is wonderful.
Yeah, you take care.
You too now.
There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
In 2005, a crack podcasting unit was sent to prison by a kangaroo court for a crime they didn't commit. These squirrels promptly escaped from a maximum security treehouse to the Texas underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
TubeLongSquirrels.com is better than pie.
For over 300 years, one story has captured the imagination of millions. One mythical journey has never been more real. A solitary life perseveres on the quest for truth. And though he travels alone, we stand at his side, for his story is our story.
This book contains the secrets of the universe. I'm cursed by a dark power that drains the life from me. That's why I must get to the Mystic City, where the Absolute can purge my curse and recreate me. It's the only way I'll survive.
Do you think of yourself as religious?
I don't know. I'm a man after the truth, wherever it leads me.
Religion is complicated and convoluted. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
You'll run into many paths near this one while traveling. They'll be crooked and wide.
You have to learn to discern the truth. Sharpen your mind and do not be deceived.
Run, Christopher. Run.
A
storm made of fire is coming, and this city will be destroyed.
There's a dark power at work here. This place is called the Swamp of Dread Gloom.
If you keep going this way, you'll have swords at your throat, dragons at your back, and in the end, death.
The choice is yours, Christopher. It has always been yours.
Spirit Blade Productions presents a reimagining of the classic tale by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. The quest begins at spiritblade.net.
Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniezone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.roniezone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Roni Zone Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni Zone Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.ronizone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni Zone Radio.